90.1 FM, and this is See You at the Show. My name is Linda Evans, and I'm here with Eric Schacht. We're here every Thursday to talk about theater-related things, but today we have something kind of different. We have Michael Magruder with us, and he is the writer and producer and one of the actors for Peoria, the TV show. And if you could tell us a little bit about yourself before you start telling us about the show.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I've been an actor, writer since I was a kid. I staged my first play when I was 13 years old called Delport Junior High, where I wrote and starred in it. And I pretty much kind of grew from that into filmmaking. My most recent theatrical run was Once in a While, where I produced, wrote, acted, and did a great other many things on it. And that's kind of what got a lot of attention for Peoria when it was time to come back around to that. So, basically, I've been born and raised here, doing film, doing theater, now doing television, and now I'm here.
Have you been involved with any of the community theater groups in the Peoria area before?
I live in like the city of Peoria, so the organizations that I've worked with the most were Peoria Players and Cornstalk. I worked with Cornstalk as recently as 2018, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were just talking about Cornstalk on our last show, so I don't think I've seen anything.
Yeah, I'm not sure which group did the production of Something Rotten outside last summer, but Linda and I came over because we were so kind of like curious about how during COVID there was going to be a musical put on. And one of the Peoria area groups did that. It was outside in a park with a pretty impressive stage and lighting and kind of amphitheater setup. And, but I'm not remembering offhand who did that, but that's been our only personal exposure to Peoria theater.
But obviously we're trying to expand our reach beyond Champaign, Illinois, especially with COVID and everything, because we found that, we've wanted to do this for a long time, but this allows us to, because there wasn't that much stuff going on, it allowed us to kind of expand our reach. But
how has COVID impacted the film business, or would you even say that your film, or do you have a different way of describing what Peoria is?
I think the majority of projects in Peoria produced are films, but right now I'm in the middle of a television show. I'm producing a television show, and it's affected the show greatly. It hasn't, it slowed it down, but it hasn't stopped it. But as you can imagine, with COVID just being so unpredictable, we would constantly have actors who were either exposed to COVID or had it themselves that would drop out, like in the shoot, which is understandable. Different locations that we had agreed to shoot in, we're like, sorry, like, we can't do it, because at the time there was kind of a restaurant limitation on the restaurants. You couldn't really do indoor dining or anything. So that affected the, particularly the technical quality of the pilot a great deal, because we were constantly kind of scrambling and just trying to, beat COVID, from a production standpoint. And ultimately kind of set us back a bit. Post-production of the pilot took a lot longer than expected. But I am happy to announce it is done. It is done. It's complete. I have a really great sound editor named Jared Allen. He's related to the great actress Joanna Mills. And Jared Mills managed to really turn this thing around. The pilot looks great. Looks great. Sounds great. We definitely plan on producing other episodes at a higher level. But I think considering that all we fought against was COVID, I feel like we came out on top with a pretty solid pilot.
Yeah, I mean, it's really just amazing to be able to do anything right now. I just helped produce a full-length horror film, and it's hard to do things while you're trying to be safe and everything. And it's hard in normal times, and adding COVID into it makes it even more difficult. But so we'll be able to see the pilot October 15th. Is that correct?
Yes, it is finally coming out on a lot of platforms on October 15th. We're going to, you know, just for the pilot only, we're going to put it on social media. We already have an active Roku channel. It'll be on the official website, PRUTVshow.com. And we are going to be airing it on Channel 22 in Comcast Channel 22 in the Peoria area for those of you that like prefer to watch it on, you know, actual or on traditional television.
Do most of your actors come from the Peoria and surrounding areas?
Yes, actually. We have three that are from the, that are living in the city of Peoria. We have four Chicago actors, one in St. Louis, one in Iowa. And because the role was just, you know, required a special talent, we're bringing in one of the leads from New York. Almost all the supporting roles are in the Central Illinois area. And a great deal of, the leads are Midwestern based at least. We got some very significant Peoria representation, some very significant Central Illinois representation. We got people from Chillicothe, Pekin, Galesburg, you name it.
That's great. So can you tell us a little bit about what the show is about?
I mean, honestly, it kind of became a metamorphosis of things. I typically write straight comedies. This is my first foray into some more serious-minded things. I typically don't talk about, like, issues or, you know, heavier things. I typically, you know, kind of a joke guy, trying to make people laugh. And there's definitely some humor here, but I would characterize it as a light drama. And ultimately, the reason why we call it Peoria is because it's about a group of friends. They're trying to make a difference in their city, and they do it in different ways. My character, Greg, along with Susan, we're trying to do it, like, from a political community standpoint. Joanna's character, Samantha Brown, Dr. Samantha Brown, you ready for the doctor on it. She's trying to change the medical system. Emily's trying to, you know, help the environment. Ben's trying to, you know, do what he can to educate the next generation of youth. So basically the idea is that, it's a place in Peoria, play anywhere. So I feel like there's a universal appeal there, where it's like Peoria is kind of a stand-in for really any town, you know, trying to improve the situation. But there are definitely a lot of Peoria-specific things. You know, we're in District 150. We are kind of modeling things in Peoria. I think in some cases we don't necessarily specify a particular business organization, in order to kind of keep things even and, legally sound. But you'll know it when you see it. I think one thing that's going to be, a lot of fun for people who've been to Peoria or live here is to kind of point out, like, different Peoria-isms that, like, you'll only really get if you're from here. and I think that's kind of been the key, is to make it universal enough that it appeals to people outside of Peoria, but that it is, specific enough that, there's a reason why we call it Peoria. I'm kind of trying to make sure that, both types of viewers have something in it for them. But yeah, if I had to distill it, I know that was probably a long way to answer, is a group of friends try to make a difference in their city.
Right. I was really drawn to the fact that you deal with some topics that seem kind of, big topics like their environment and things like that, but also it clearly is fun too. So it's not just like a hard drama, but there's like some fun little aspects of it as well.
We definitely try to make the medicine go down easy. And I think one thing that I really try hard not to do is pretty much, like, this is probably the most personal project in terms of kind of like my, typically I write things where it's like, it's kind of escapist there, where it's not really reflective of my real life. My thoughts and opinions, obviously, because I'm writing it, but like typically, like, I don't get too deep or personal with it. I'm trying to kind of escape. Here, I do definitely, every single character, guy and girl, definitely represents a different part of my personality, different, things within my upbringing and, attitude and mindset. But yeah, we want to make sure that we avoid the preachiness of it all. Like, obviously, I think you'll see an obvious, you know, bent in, you know, my own personal politics. I consider myself very progressive. But I don't think it's one of those things where it's, I think typically a lot of shows can get not just preachy, but very one-sided, where it's like, you know, we're enlightened liberals and, you know, shut up conservatives. That's not what our show is. You know, we are, you know, trying to, you know, bring up these issues and really just kind of make people think about, you know what, maybe it's not that bad. Maybe we should have single payer healthcare. You know, maybe we should be doing more for the environment. Maybe we should be doing more in our community. You know, I feel like these are things that, you know, regardless of what your political persuasion is, I think you can get something out of it.
Right. And I love the idea of a TV show like actually based and written by someone who's from Peoria and, you know, using some Peoria talent and stuff like that. And I really would love to see more shows and more films shot outside of, you know, the Chicago, Atlanta, LA area, you know. So it's fun to see something like, I think you're kind of groundbreaking here, and I appreciate the fact that you're working on this. And you have a Kickstarter, another Kickstarter that's going to kick off soon, right? On October 19th?
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah, we're launching a brand new Kickstarter October 19th. We are going to be a bit more ambitious in our goal this time now that we've learned a lot of lessons from last year. And, you know, we're going to have a brand new pitch video coming up. You know, we didn't plan this originally, but it's actually going to coincide with the pilot. Roughly. The pilot's going to be on the 15th, and then, you know, a few days later, the 19th Kickstarter. And we're gonna have a lot of fun with it. We're going to be doing sweepstakes, sketches, you know, checkpoint challenges. You know, regardless of what happens with the campaign, and I feel very positive that, once again, we will raise the money we need for the miniseries. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have a lot of fun with it. We're just going to, you know, just do a lot of fun and great things, you know. The bottom line is, you know, my motto is just that I never make the same mistake twice, and I always get it done, regardless of how long it takes. So I feel pretty good about it.
And I know how, like, money, it can cost a lot more than you expect upfront sometimes, and you know, can come up, and totally understand how that happens. So I was happy to see you reaching out with another Kickstarter. And how hard is it to be the writer, and you also direct too?
Typically, no. We basically are going to be rotating directors.
Okay.
Moving forward, Raina Eunice Reed actually directs the pilot. Typically, like, I kind of got my hands full producing, writing, acting.
Right.
I had to give the directing role to someone else, but typically I have creative control over the process. It's a little different in television. In film, the director is kind of the one in charge, and in, you know, TV, the producer, writer is.
Right.
So the director is just kind of there to kind of help move it all along, you know. But yeah.
Is it hard to act or do you enjoy acting in something that you wrote?
I mean, I love acting. That's my first passion, right, alongside writing. Mm-hmm. It's to the point where I can't imagine doing one or the other. I can't imagine acting but not writing, and, you know, writing but not acting. To answer your question very bluntly, though, yeah, it's extremely difficult. I feel like, you know, something's got to give. Usually it's the acting. I feel pretty good about the acting that I did in the pilot, but I know that it wasn't, like, I guess my best, I would say, just to be honest. I was so kind of tied up behind the scenes with, so many different things, especially with, you know, like with COVID, there's like an emergency every 15 minutes that I have to address. So it's kind of hard to then be like, okay, I'm an actor now, and then, like, try to, you know, focus. We're rectifying that this time. We're going to have a line producer who's going to make sure that nothing comes to me unless it's, like, you know, code level red importance. If it's not, then, you know, I need to stay in the actor mind. It was a very difficult balancing act, but I feel like it's going to be a lot better this time. And thankfully, I have a talented cast of 9 other actors who, you know, went in there and are, doing great. Particularly for me, because this is the character that I act alongside the most. is Megan Lipsky's Susan. Megan Lipsky is an amazing actress, and I look forward to kind of going in there and hopefully getting up to her level as an actor, you know, because I won't be so pulled behind the scenes.
So you indicated that there is a little bit of you in all of the characters, but in the one that you play particularly, do you find that that's autobiographical for you?
Ironically, like, the character I play, it's the least like me. In other words, like, Greg kind of has a life that I wish that I had, you know, whereas the other characters, I think, like, kind of have more personality traits that are kind of more me. I think to kind of go over them briefly, I think that Tom's sense of kind of justice and fairness, that's definitely me. I think Danny's kind of fun-loving humor side is definitely me. Also, you know, there's some traits that are, you know, a little, like, maybe not ideal, but still, you know, human and realistic. Alex is obviously, you know, can be a little hostile at times, so that represents that part of me. Samantha's very blunt. Emily's very, you know, positive, you know, and you know, Susan's very idealistic. So there's just like a lot of different traits in there. You know, I suppose I have some of Erica's confidence. You have to have a little bit of confidence to try to pull off what I'm trying to pull off. So yeah, I feel like there's just like a lot of them in me. I think the thing with Greg is, I think Greg represents what I aspire towards. He's very smooth, you know, he has his group of friends that he looks out for. You know, and he gets the girl at the end. You know, obviously there's you know, obviously that hasn't been my case yet, but you know, it's nice to play that out, and you know, hopefully I can be Greg when I grow up.
It's interesting that you use the word aspirational when talking about Greg, because in a lengthy post you wrote recently, and you're talking about race in the show and race and maybe at television generally, you talked about how what you were doing with Peoria TV was more aspirational than actually representative. So how does race play into your background, and if at all, into Peoria?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, that's a multi-pronged issue. You know, obviously, as you know, as these kind of issues are, I'll try my best to kind of stay on a clear track. Basically, there's my life, and then there's the show, and then there's the perception of the show.
Okay.
In my own life, as you can imagine, you know, a black man born in the 80s, came up in the 90s, and, you know, been an adult throughout the 2000s, it's played a very big part. It's really colored a lot of my interactions with people, especially as I, you know, became an adult. You know, like, basically, you know, I grew up in not an all-black neighborhood, but a primary black neighborhood. I'm from the south side of Peoria, south side represent. But anyway, I still live here, by the way. You know, but the thing is, I never quite, you know, just kind of be candid, I suppose, I never quite fit in to either kind of group. As I mentioned in the essay, you know, and I'm making no judgment on it. It just is what it is, but hopefully it can improve. It's segregated, you know, I mean, like, largely, you know, most of the black folks are in Peoria, I mean, are in the south side. Most of the white folks live uptown. Obviously I like to bridge that gap, but that's just kind of our current reality. I think for me, like, again, this is me personally, not necessarily the Peoria show. I haven't really, even to this day, found a group that I fit in with. I think that because of the way I present myself and the way that I, you know, talk and do things and the kind of things that I'm into, a lot of black people that I grew up with, you know, kind of feel like I'm a sellout, or, you know, I frequently was bullied and called white boy, you know, as an insult, you know, and when I never went for that. I've never been afraid of or ashamed of who I am as a black man. But I just never kind of got accepted. So when I got bussed out the Dunn Lab, I was like, okay, well, I mean, this is kind of a bit opposite of what I was going for. You know, I mean, ideally, I would have went to a school that was half black, half white. But we don't have quite that ratio for the most part. Some schools kind of are closed. Dunn Lab is not. Dunn Lab is primarily white, at least when I went to it in the early 2000s. And I kind of faced the same issue, though. Like, the expectation was that I was to be a stereotypical black man. In other words, like, I need to kind of speak the lingo and make them look cool. And, you know, that was basically my first experience of being used as a prop by white people. That's something that, I, honestly, it's probably become a bigger issue than me being rejected by the black side of, you know, the city. You know, because it's not like, you know, because I'm completely a black man. I'm not biracial or anything. So it's not like, you know, I'm push and pull between black and white. But this is basically kind of how I'm viewed in the city. You know, as I've gotten older, I kind of feel like the racism kind of, they got more casual, yet more sinister. I feel like it's easier to point out someone who's obviously racist than it is to pick out someone who is not quite treating you like a person. And to be clear, like, I don't think that all white people or all black people behave in the ways that I'm describing in terms of kind of how I've been treated. I can only speak to my truth as a black man in America, you know, trying to make it in, you know, in the industry. And, you know, like, so these are my experiences. But typically, you know, with a lot of my industry, you know, associations with you know, certain white people has been, you know, basically it's either kind of a overly nice placating thing where, like, they don't understand that that also is sinister and racist, you know, where you're just kind of like overly nice because, you know, basically, oh, poor black man, you know, we got to make sure that we're super nice, right. You know, or just treated like total crap. And I think that all I ever want and all I would ever ask for is to just imagine that I'm white. Imagine that I'm white. Don't, you know, I mean, obviously you have to recognize that I'm a black man, but imagine that I'm white. What would you say to a white person in this situation? Just say that to me. You know what I mean? Like, don't overthink it in either direction. The bottom line is, I think that I would just like to be treated like a person. I think a lot of black people would just like to be treated like a person. I feel like I kind of get treated poorly in relation to, and again, this is not an indictment on Peoria or even a particular organization within Peoria, but I have had recent experiences where, you know, people socialize with each other. They kind of choose their own race to socialize with. And when I try to socialize, it, you know, I'm kind of shut out because, in large part because, I feel like my race plays a major part in it. And obviously, it's disappointing, especially when you're the one in charge. But, you know, it is what it is. I don't think that anyone that I'm working with is, like, necessarily intentionally doing it. But, you know, it's just something that I face. You know, but with that said, though, like, it's something that I try not to let define my life. So obviously, that was kind of a loaded response for the personal side. Here's the thing for the show. I feel like the show speaks to enough issues that I don't really want to get into social issues. I think one thing that you'll find with Peoria is that we have enough issues as it is. You know, I'm not really trying to touch on the social issues, I guess, as much. You know, we're not really trying to delve into, you know, the mechanics behind racism or, you know, other, you know, touchy political, you know, cultural war issues. We're trying to kind of bring people together on things that we can all connect on, you know, like healthcare and the environment, you know, cleaning up our neighborhoods. Right. I feel like that's something that brings us all together. You know what I mean? I feel like black people, you know, can relate, white people can relate. And that's kind of how I started Peoria. I opened up all the roles. You know, everyone is, you know, open to them. Like, in other words, I never specify a role in terms of color unless it's absolutely crucial to the character. Usually, like, if it's like a younger version of that character or something, or it's culturally relevant to that. You know, and it's kind of a numbers game, as I kind of explained in the essay. You know, the more actors of a certain color who apply, the more likely there are to get it just by simple numbers. But even then, I am trying to, you know, do everything I can to specifically reach out to actors of color. But as it relates to the content of the show, I know some people may not be happy with it, and they feel like, Michael, you really got to hit on these social issues. And it's just like, that's just not what the show is. We are trying to diversify as best we can, but we're trying to do that in a way where everybody can feel good about the process, where we can do things naturally. You know, we don't want to force an agenda one way or another. And quite frankly, you know, I felt like I had to respond to, you know, a lot of the critics who I feel like maybe the heart is in the right place, but I feel like they're going about it in a very negative way, you know, to basically go after a black man as to how he should portray his blackness.
Right.
You know, basically, you know, it's kind of like, you know, I don't have to prove anything. I paid my dues by spending 36 years as a black man. There's not really, and again, I hope this doesn't offend the viewers or turn people off, but I don't feel like there's a single thing that a white person can tell me about being black and how I should conduct, you know, my affairs as it relates to race. Particularly the ones that are, you know, criticizing me over this are ones that, you know, don't even know the kind of experiences that I grew up with. You know, they grew up in the suburbs, or, you know, they only have white friends, so they don't, you know, and basically, I guess that's the other part of it, is just that I don't want to be used. I don't want, you know, and I don't want black people to be used. I don't want people to be like, well, you know, I support black rights. Like, okay, well, like, but do you support black people in your own actual life? You know, do you actually associate with them as props for you to use to make you feel better about yourself? Mm-hmm. You know, if we're the second thing, then I feel like that's as damaging and racist as the people that you would consider to be overtly racist. So you're not a bad person. That other person's probably not a bad person either. But I think we all just need to look at what we're doing. You know, are we doing more harm than good? You know, are we treating people like people? Or are we, you know, kind of using them to serve our political interests, you know, or other interests? I'm not really trying to dig into race issues as it relates to the show. I feel like, you know, like I said, we're trying to tie people together. We're trying to bring people together. But, you know, I just kind of felt like this is, you know, I'm the Peoria guy now, I guess. You know, so, like, I have to talk about all of it, you know, and this is a big part of it as a black man.
Sure.
I think one of the things that really jumps out and maybe distinguishes a little bit your project from the sort of thing that we're facing and emphasizing in community theater is when you wrote in your essay that for every one minority actor who applies, there are hundreds of white actors who are applying for the same role. And that's, I guess, the root of what maybe is the problem. And that percentage actually shows up in when we look back at the history of shows that have been put on, in terms of, like, it's about one out of every 100 shows in our community that have been written by a black person. It's about one out of every 100 roles that are given to a black person. It's about one out of every 100 seats in our theaters that are filled by black people. And that feels like something at the community theater level we can change, and that maybe then then the people walking through your doors are of a different composition, and I don't know, but it's a complicated issue, and I'm thrilled to have the chance to hear your opinions on it.
Right. And I think, I think there just needs to be the fact that you are a writer and a producer as a black man is wonderful, because, like, the more people that we have in those positions, writing and producing and being, you know, the people in charge, the better, and the more it'll just naturally, I think, I mean, obviously other things need to be done too, but that's part of what needs to happen, is that there need to be more writers that are coming from all different voices. And so it's wonderful.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Sorry.
No. We've loved talking to you, and I wish that we had like an hour to spend on this, but and we'd love to have you on again. Unfortunately, we're running out of time, but just tell everybody once again where they can find Peoria, the TV show. Your premiere comes out February 18th, is that right?
The series that's in continuity is going to be on February 18th.
Okay.
Definitely check out the Peoria TV, like the Peoria TV network. Basically, just call it, you know, go on Facebook, Peoria TV. It'll let you know all the places, you know, that you can find it. We're going to do the pilot October 15th. So be sure to check that out. Kickstarter on October 19th. We're going to be going back into production in November with my wonderful cast and my brand new crew. It's going to be awesome, you know, and, you know, I'm looking forward to it.
And if you could just, you know, keep in touch with us, let us know if you need anything promoted, or if any of these dates change, if you need actors, we put call outs on Facebook for actors or crew and things like that. And we're happy to help and support in any way we can, and can't wait to see.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I definitely plan on keeping you guys updated on the progress of the show. And yeah, I think my actors would love to, be a part of this, so I'll definitely let them know and, see what can work out.
All right. Yeah, well, thank you very much for joining us on See You at the Show. Michael Magruder of Peoria, the TV show.
You are listening to W.